When we parents send our kids off to college, we do so with fingers tightly crossed that they will remain safe and sound. Will they be safe, you wonder, as they head back to the dorm after a night class or evening study group at the library? Will they be safe going down to the laundry room in the dorm? Then you consider all the ramifications of the social side of college life, from parties to bar crawls and everything in between. Well, statistics from the Centers for Disease Control support those concerns. The CDC reports 1 in 5 women report having been raped at some time in their lives. By the way, the figure for men is 1 in 71. And other studies find college women are at greater risk for rape and other forms of sexual assault than women in the general population. So what can be done to stop this and to keep young women safe? Jess Klein joins us now in the studio. She's with the Women's Resource Center at Eastern Michigan University. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I want to start by getting everybody on the same page with regards to terminology as we talk. I feel fairly confident that when we use the term rape, that's clear to everyone. Maybe not. But the term sexual assault made me wonder, what does that exactly mean?
So sexual assault is pretty much an umbrella term for all these other things. So you have this huge spectrum of things. You have everything from sexual harassment with unwanted gestures or touching or things like that, all the way to forcible rape or penetration.
Okay.
So it runs a gamut.
And I think that is where you get to wonder about how much of that is reported, because I see this one survey that says 37% of women who were victims of rape were raped between the ages of 18 to 24. Do you think that figure is accurate, or do you think it's too low?
I think it's absolutely too low. But it does go to show you, you know, 1 in 4 women in college will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. 1 in 3 to 1 in 5 women all over the world will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. But statistics show that that number is absolutely too low.
Why is it so underreported?
A lot of reasons. So specifically speaking with college campuses, you know, there's a lot of self-blame that goes into young women who are assaulted. First of all, you have to understand what sexual assault actually is. So if you go, well, you know, I was just groped, or I wasn't penetrated, or, you know, I was really drunk, so I must have put myself in that situation, you know. So it's kind of this self-blame or this confusion that goes into what actually happened to you. So there's that. There's the fear that you're not going to be believed. There's the fear that you put yourself in that situation, so therefore you asked for it.
Is that victim blaming?
Absolutely.
Why do I bet that that doesn't happen if something happens to a man? Or does it?
Well, it absolutely does. Male assault is absolutely underreported as well. If a man is assaulted by another man, there is this stigma in society that he may be gay or identified as gay, or that he should have done something to stop it, and that he's stronger than that and should have been more masculine than
that. So victim blaming seems to happen a lot when sexual assault claims come up.
Absolutely. All across the board for men and women.
Does that come from peers? Does it come from elders, like parents? Where does the victim blaming coming from?
Well, I think it comes from a lot of different places. But if you think about it, I mean, we're not learning about sexual assault in high school or middle school or even elementary school. When parents hear the word sex, they kind of forget the UAL at the end and say, oh, sexual assault. Well, this is about sex, and I'm not going to think about my kids having sex, so therefore we're not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the stigma alone on sex and what that looks like, and then translate that to sexual assault, we're not talking about it at a very young age. So it's no wonder that a lot of people do blame themselves, because they're not being educated about it.
Okay. Now I want to ask you about another term that I've seen and get your take on it. When we hear the phrase rape culture, what does that mean? And what does that look like? And give us examples.
That's a great question. So in our society, we are actually all responsible for creating a culture where rape is perpetrated and basically sustained, and where it exists in the first place. So violence is a social construction, just as gender, just as race. So when we say the words rape culture, what we're saying is this, it's kind of this, these arbitrary rules that we put on women in our society to kind of, you know, give them a box that they have to fit in. So basically, we tell women that if they go out too late at night and they're assaulted, it's their fault. If they wear these certain kinds of clothing, then, and they're assaulted, it may be their fault. So before women even leave the house, they think, is this too late? Do I have my pepper spray with me? I don't have a buddy, system tonight. Should I go out? Should I wear this low-cut top? So women are constantly asking themselves, or checking their own behaviors before they go anywhere.
But isn't that smart? Shouldn't they have to? Shouldn't we be doing that anyway, just as part of living in 21st century life?
Well, you know, I don't think so. I mean, do men have to? There's really no equivalent to a low cut top for a man. Okay. There's, you know, men are allowed to go out late at night, and we should be allowed to make any choices we want. If somebody steals my cell phone, mm-hmm. yeah, sure, it was my fault that I left it out, but it's not someone else's to take. You know, so it's my body, it's my property, and you don't get to decide what's for it. So we need to start to switch the language to say, well, maybe you shouldn't touch me, you know, instead of why, you know, why can't I wear this? Why shouldn't I look like this?
Or why can't I walk home from the library?
Exactly.
I'm speaking with Jess Klein, who's with the Women's Resource Center at Eastern Michigan University, looking at the problem of sexual assault, particularly against women on college campuses. And Jess, when you talk about preventative messages, do you aim them at men, women, more one the other equally?
Both, actually. Mm-hmm. So when I do this in front of classrooms, my first question is, gentlemen in the room, what do you do on a daily basis to keep yourself from being sexually assaulted? And they all look at each other. They have nothing to say. Women, what do you do on a daily basis? You know, their hands go up. Well, I carry pepper spray. I carry a concealed weapon. I look in the backseat of my car. And, you know, it's everything. But there's a difference between secondary prevention and primary prevention. Secondary prevention are things we can do on an individual level. So risk reduction.
All right.
Prevented
the pepper spray,
yes.
The walking with a buddy.
Yes, walking in well-lit areas, mm-hmm. looking in the backseat of our car, covering our drinks at parties, whatnot.
Okay.
But then the other hand to that is primary prevention, which basically means that we're educating people on a societal level to say that we can stop rape. We can stop this rape culture because we're ultimately the ones who created the rape culture.
And how do we do that? So when you're talking about that primary, there's the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
How?
Well, there's a lot of college campuses across the country that have specific programming. There's a lot of research out there that says, you know, these are the best groups to target, so, and this is the best way to do it. So in terms of education, there are some college campuses have an actual sexual assault coordinator that does things within the classroom. Other schools have orientation programs where they strictly learn about sexual violence, but not just, you know, this is what will happen if you rape somebody, or this is what will happen if you, you know, are assaulted, but don't rape. And this is why. This is how we can create this. If you hear somebody, you know, tell a sexist joke or catcalling, maybe you should stand up for them. So it's all about the bystander effect, too. How to be an effective bystander and how to be a good friend.
Jess, I'm thinking of friends of mine whose college-bound kids are doing their high school graduation parties. They're getting ready to head off in August or September for college campuses. So what should parents be doing right now as far as messages to sons and daughters heading for college?
I think that we have to tell parents to, first of all, trust their children, you know, with the decisions that they make. It's got to start before you go to college. So do you have young folks in your life? You know, are you babysitting? Do you have nieces and nephews? Do you have children? Talk to them about respect at a very young age. You know, if you think about it, when little Susie comes home from school when she's, you know, 5 years old and said, you know, little Bobby hit me, and mom says, well, that's just because he likes you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're sending a message from a very young age that men are allowed to do that because they like us. So I think that it really starts then. And we have to send this message of respect. And we also have to talk about the influences of our peer groups and make sure that, you know, your children can think for themselves, but can also not be afraid to stand up to their friends if someone makes an inappropriate comment or a gesture or something like that.
And the peer group thing is, I think, as the mother of a boy and a girl, a much bigger problem for girls because you don't want to stand out. You don't want to go against the flow.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to know how to raise our daughters because it seems that even if you try to say, think for yourself, tune out the bully. I mean, we're really getting into a lot
sure.
of other issues, but it all kind of comes down to your right to say, no, not for me.
Exactly. But for someone else to respect that.
Yeah.
So telling a gentleman that, you know, a woman is not a conquest. Sex is not a thing. It's a relationship, whatever that, if it's a 10-minute relationship or a 10-year mm-hmm. relationship. So those are the kinds of messages that we need to be sending.
And so your hope for these girls coming to campus, either as first-time freshmen or returning students, when we got the summer off for a lot of folks,
mm-hmm.
but they'll be back soon. Your hope for these kids?
Well, take a women's studies class, first of all. Get involved in some sort of social justice action, whatever that may be. And don't just do something because you feel it's, you know, kind of cool, but really understand why you're doing the work that you're doing. And when you understand why a social problem exists, it's then that you can really start to stand up for those people and really start to get involved in the movement.
Jess Klein from the Women's Resource Center at Eastern Michigan University. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today.
Thank
on Stateside.
You.